Well, we made it. We are on core value number 5. If you're just joining us for the first time this morning, let me catch you up on where we've been. We have been on a journey for a number of years here that we've entitled Renewing the Focus. We have gone thoroughly through our church from ground up. Just through all the strengths and challenges, we've looked at the demographics of our area, we looked at our personal passions and giftedness and a slew of other things involved in this renewing the focus. And the goal there is to do just that, to renew our focus. And an important part of this was to revisit our mission statement, to revisit our core values. And in doing so, the leadership, we put together a brand new mission statement. And out of that mission statement came 5 brand new core values that are just solid, solid, solid statements. And so what we've been doing this year to really dig into it, to dig deeper into it, we've taken a whole sermon series for each core value. For each of our 5 core values. And so if you're joining us today, then we are just entering into our 5th core value. All these are up online on our website, as are our core values are up on our website. When I took the screenshot, that was this sermon series before. If we go back to that. So if you go to the About Us page, and then you can go to the core values, mission core values. Yeah, it won't be clickable. But yeah, that's the idea right there. So, and then we also have these available at the Information Center. We've got a trifold brochure that has all of the scriptures listed in there. Online has all the scriptures. We just have a half sheet also, and it just has the key scriptures that are attached to each of these core values. So we want you to have access to them. We want you to know them. Write them on your hearts. They are extremely biblical, and they are going to be our guidelines. They are going to be our guardrails. What we label as these are the white lines on the side of the road, and we're not going outside of them. And so these core values, they should shape our focus in that way. And we should be reminded by each of these core values of what is most important here at Miami Town to inspire us all to step up and to step forward, not just in our personal faith, but our faith collectively as a church body. So earlier this year, we looked closely at the first 2 core values. The first core value is that God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. That's the first one, and it just makes sense that it's the first one because it was the first in God's top 10. It was the first one Jesus said, what are the most important commandments? Love God, love him. And so God is first. That's our first core value. Our second core value is devoted to God. That is a full dependence on him and a complete, and we were very careful about word choice, very careful. Every word we went through meticulously as a leadership, and these words just, everyone unpacked meaning there. A full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. That's what the Bible teaches. That's not what we see anymore, and I think that's why we don't see the church as powerful as it should be, but that is what the Bible teaches. And so these first 2 core values, they focus very vertical, that God is first, we are devoted to God, and our mission statement is growing in God, investing in people. And so the mission statement's kind of in 2 parts there. The first part is vertical, the second part is more horizontal. And so our last 3 core values deal with the second part of our mission statement, investing in people. And so core value number 3 is growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. That's what Jesus had asked us to do as his disciples, to go into all the world and to baptize them, to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus had taught us. And so that is what we're going to be about here at Miami Town, growing God's kingdom, increasing, that's making more, and developing, that's making deeper, devoted disciples of Jesus. Core value number 4, which we just came out of a series on this, was actively investing, taking personal responsibility. And last week we talked about doing whatever it takes. And I really appreciated the feedback on that. That was, I was nervous about that one because I knew I was going to be pushing a little bit. And you guys responded real well to that. I kind of got the feeling of what a personal trainer feels like when they have someone they're working with and they push them and they know they're going to push them hard that day and they respond well. And it's like, yeah. You know, and so that felt really good. So I appreciate that from you guys. And it's just, it's more and more confirmation that we are in the place where we need to be to make things happen. Amen. So that was awesome, the responses I got from last week. And if you missed last week, you can go and listen to it. You might not think it's pushy when you hear it online, but when you get to know some of the history here, then when there's a little bit of that could have been a little edgy, and you guys were so welcoming to that, and I think that's awesome, because that's a big deal. Doing whatever it takes. That's a big word. Doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. So that's number four. And as I said, 3, 4, and 5 all deal with investing in people. And so our fifth one is very practical, and it is just connecting with people. Connecting with people. Building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. Connecting with people. Now, in the weeks to come, we're going to break down, this will be a four-part series. And so in the weeks to come, we're going to break down compassion, service, and support, and how we connect with people through those different avenues. Today, I want to go back up to just the very first part of the description of that. Connecting with people, building real relationships. That's a word that could have multiple definitions across the place here. And so we want to have a definition of what a real relationship looks like. We want to connect with people in a way that's quite different than, you know, your greeters at Walmart. They connect with people, but that's not what we're not looking for a superficial, surface-level connection. We're looking for something that's deeper. We want to build relationships. We want to build real relationships. But what are we talking about here? What is a real relationship? And so that is what we are going to talk about today, is real relationships defined. So the first thing to note here is that we must be intentional. Let's go and write this down. I'm going to start taking notes in your bulletin. We must be intentional about the relationship by earning respect and permissions. Okay, if anybody's been taught the way I've been taught, you give respect. But the way respect is kept, it's earned, isn't it? And you get a different level of respect when you earn it. You give respect out of honor to someone else just by being a person, or you give respect to someone that might be in a position that's their position demands respect. But when you really invest into someone, then you develop a deeper level of respect, a respect that's earned. And that's the kind of respect that we're shooting for in these real relationships. That's going to be a defining factor, that we are intentionally building relationships, earning respect. And along with respect comes a big deal, a big important word for us, and that is permissions. You gain permissions. Okay, I was curious, I don't know, maybe some of the fashion police out there, does the brown work with the orange? Does that work? Okay. I thought it did, and I took it to my wife last night, and I held it up. I was like, okay, does this work? It's with jeans, so, you know, giving you the full picture without, you know. And she said, yeah, that works. She has permission. She has permission because she's earned it. Okay, it's something that simple, but we all experience these in all of our relationships. But this is where we want to go. We want to have intentional relationships with people in such a way that we work to earn respect and earn permissions. Because people aren't going to care about your opinion. Someone else could make a comment about my clothes, and if they haven't earned my respect, I don't care. You can say whatever you want to about what I'm wearing. The people that matter are going to be the people that have earned respect, correct? Same with all of us. Okay, so and today is really just a bunch of Captain Obvious. I'm just kind of putting it all together so we can take it with us, okay? So there might not be anything new and profound, but hopefully putting it together, we'll get an overall picture and a nice focus of what a real relationship looks like. So the opportunities might present themselves in a number of different ways for a new relationship. So you might have a new neighbor that's moved in, or you might have a neighbor that's going through something that offers an opportunity to be able to connect with them that maybe you haven't connected with them before, or you get a chance to connect with them and it opens a door of opportunity where you can step in and help out there. Maybe you've got someone at work, either it's someone new that you're working with, or maybe it's someone that's been in the company and you just get paired up with them for a project or whatever, and you get a chance to build a relationship with them. So the doors open in so many different areas. It might be like, for instance, my oldest son is running cross country, and he has three of his friends that we're always hearing about. We're always hearing about Devin. We're always hearing about AJ, and they all three run cross country together, which I think that might have been you know, some of the reason why he went out. I'm really glad he's running. In fact, Devin and Isaiah and myself, we all play Fortnite together. So it's kind of nice nowadays. I get to play video games with my son's friends. So don't judge. That's coming up. That's later in the sermon. But I've heard a lot about AJ. They were all in choir together last year. And so they're kind of a little trio right there. And so yesterday, going to the cross country meet, I got a chance to meet AJ's mom and Devin's mom and her boyfriend, right? Did I get that right? All the different people? Okay, so it's opportunities like that where you have a window, and a lot of times we might miss that, but if we're intentional about the relationship, then we can build a relationship with them, and we can earn permissions, and we can earn respect, and we're going to do that by looking at some of the other things we're looking at today. Another thing, Jim joined us for lunch last week, and we were up at Logan's, and there's a waitress up there that my family's connected with. We like to do this when we find a good server at a restaurant. We try and request them. One, you get good service because you know they're good, but also if you're giving them good tips, you know they're going to like having you, so it's a nice, but that builds a relationship. You're investing into the person. And after a number of Sundays and of going out there and various times, then we got to one Sunday and asked, you know, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And she does. She goes to a church that has a Wednesday night service. She works every Sunday, obviously, because that's where we've met her. But it opened the door to be able to have the permission to ask that. You can't just walk in the first Sunday and ask your server, hey, where do you go to church? That would just be weird. But in this situation, We had earned those permissions. We had earned a respect there, and so we could ask that, and it wasn't weird. It was more natural. It was more like, oh yeah, this he just cares, you know. So it was. So this is what we're talking about today. I need to keep on moving. So our core values should be the core values of all of us, not just the church, but us as individuals. Okay, if God is first, then that means that we have found in each of our lives, we have found that there is nothing more important than God. That we have had that pearl of great price experience, or the landowner where he, or the guy that found the treasure and then bought the land, became a landowner just to get that treasure. We've had that experience where we found God and we know that there is nothing more important than him. Nothing even comes close to competing with him as first. If that's what we have experienced, and so much so that we are devoted to him. Devoted to him in such a way that we let go of ourselves and we give him everything because we've experienced what faith means. We've experienced what it's like to have his protection and to have his security and to trust him. And we've experienced that with him. We've experienced what it means to be devoted to him, to lean on him, to go to him with everything, even the smallest little prayers are the heaviest ones. And that's a big deal to us, to have a relationship with the creator of everything, to have forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to have the assurance of the hope of eternity with God. Then we will want to do all we can to share that. I believe we're in agreement on that. Are we? Yes? And you've probably heard the illustration before. If you knew the cure for cancer, you'd be sharing it with the world, wouldn't you? Yes. If you knew how to open a minute rice box without torturing the whole top of it, what in the world? If you know how to do that, please share it with the world. You please press here, and you press here, and the whole box caves in, and you end up having to. Is anyone else experienced that? Okay, it's not just me. I thought maybe I was deficient there. So, but if you know these things that, and we know the most important thing, wouldn't you want to be out there sharing them? And that's what our last three core values involve: investing in people. Sharing Jesus, sharing the love of God that we have experienced, his mercy, his forgiveness, his joy, his protection, his security, to grow God's kingdom. That's core value number three, increasing and developing devoted disciples of Christ. That will be a priority for us as individuals, not just as a congregation, but we adopt these things as our individual core values, and that's when the rubber hits the road. That's when things start happening for us as a church. that we would actively invest in others, taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to make a difference in their life, core value number four. If all of this is important to us, then listen, church. We will need to make intentional relationships with people to make all of this happen. To be able to grow God's kingdom. Intentional relationships where we earn permissions and respect. You can't just jump into life-changing conversations on day one. You must earn their respect. You must earn their permissions to be able to have an influence. And that takes effort. That takes time. That takes intentionality. So we aren't just connecting with people. We are intentionally building real relationships. That's what we're doing. Real relationships with the goal of yielding kingdom results. And so we must look at things. One of the first things we must look at is that we must be mindful. Let's go and write this down. We must be mindful that our life or your life is the example they will see. We must be mindful that our life is the example they will see. What is it that Jesus says? He says, you are the what? You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In the beginning of John's gospel, John calls Jesus the light of the world, does he not? In fact, Jesus himself is quoted in John chapter 8. Jesus says, I am, what? The light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says that, but it's also Jesus who is quoted in Matthew that says, you are the light of the world. We follow Jesus' example. He was the light of the world, and we simply reflect him. As his followers, we imitate him. We are the light of the world. That's why Paul can be so bold as to say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, follow my example. It's a bold statement. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's the way it should work. That's the way it should go for every one of us. You are the example. Listen, you are the model. Does that feel good? Turn to your neighbor and say, whoa, you're a model. Now turn to your other neighbor and replace the period or the exclamation point with a question mark. Whoa, you're a model? I think more times than not, when we look at ourselves, we use the question mark and not the exclamation point. We use the question mark and not the period. You're the model? No, but when Jesus said it, he used a period, did he not? You are the light of the world. Those who follow him, those who are going to come after him, that are going to live his example, you are the light of the world. That was a statement. It wasn't a question for Jesus. You are the light of the world. You are the example. You are the model. And that is a statement of truth. That is a statement of honor. That is a statement of responsibility. You are the light of the world. And we should be mindful of that, especially as we are developing these intentional relationships to connect with those around us. They will be watching closely, and they should be able to. They should be able to. So we intentionally work in these relationships to gain a window into their life by earning respect and by earning permissions. Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most. Everyone say the most. Make the most of every opportunity. And this, I've read this passage a number of times recently. It's been a close one for me. There's just so much right there in just that one little sentence. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. So when Paul says that's how we should act towards outsiders, make the most out of every opportunity. Make sure your conversation is full of grace, full of truth. Isn't that what Jesus came? Full of grace, full of truth. We're just imitating him. We're just following him. And that's the simplicity of Christianity. I love it. When I first became a Christian, I was like, oh man, it seems so big. It seems so intimidating. Really, it's just you follow Jesus. Ta-da. You love people. I can do that. You just follow his example. You do what he did. Now, application can be difficult. The concept is simple. Paul, when he outlines the qualifications of an elder in Timothy, he says that they should have a good reputation with outsiders. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I'm not an elder. That doesn't apply to me. No, the principle does apply to all of us. Because the principle of that is that you look at someone that is going to be an elder, and if they have a good reputation with outsiders, that means they have a consistent character across the board. That's a principle that every one of us should have, that every one of us should have a consistent character across the board. Elder or not, we are the model, we are the example, we are the light of the world. So what can we do to earn respect? What can we do to gain these permissions in these relationships that we have? Well, trust and stability will be very important. They are vital in any relationship you have. You won't earn respect without gaining trust. Correct? And you will definitely lose respect if you lose trust. Correct? So one very easy way to gain trust is to just follow what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Just be a person of your word, a man or woman of your word. Let's write this down. So we're going to gain respect, we're going to gain influence by develop a stable foundation of trust through keeping your word. It's really, you can just start it that simple. If we know, and we're really taking kind of a logical look at relationships here, and every one of us, we have relationships across the board. Relationships aren't always logical. You can't put them into an equation. But today we're looking at a model of things that we can break down and look at and say, okay, this I can understand. Now let's figure out how to apply it in all these different ways, with all these different relationships. We all know that trust is super important in a relationship. If you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. And so if we know that there's a way to gain trust, a way to earn trust, a simple way to earn trust, and we are intentionally building relationships because God is first, we're devoted to God, because we want to grow his kingdom, because we want to invest in other people, because we want to connect with people, core value 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay, if we want to do all that, then if we know trust is important, then this should just be golden right here just to listen to Jesus' words where he says, you know what, don't make promises, don't make oaths, just let your yes be yes. Let's take that truth and digest that a little bit this morning and say, okay, trust is important for relationships. Relationships are important for sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel is important for someone coming into contact with God and eternal life and all of the great things that come with that. So I need to figure out how to build trust. And then Jesus is like, okay, here's how you build trust. You just be a person of your word. Ta-da. If you say you're going to be somewhere, then you're there. If you say you're going to call, you're going to do what? You're going to call. And you're consistently that way. And you know yourself when you have someone that you've got a relationship with and they're boom, they're there, they're there, they're there, they're there, they're a person of their word. You know you give them your trust. And vice versa, if they're not, you pull that trust back. I'm not going to loan them $100. They never call when they say they're going to call. They never follow through on this or never. Nuh-uh. But if they're boom, 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 then you don't have any problem at all investing in them and having a mutual back and forth relationship there. And so if it's that simple, and there are a million different ways you can build trust, but this is one very simple way, then let me take it a step further beyond just understanding that concept. But we're going to intentionally build relationships. So, and you can, I don't want to play games with people in relationships, but you can kind of make it a little bit of a, you know, let me see if I can do this. Find ways you can set up a scenario that can build a trust, yes or no, with someone. Okay, if it's like a neighbor and they're saying, you know, I'm going to be working on this on Saturday, and you say, well, you know, I'd be happy to come over and help you out on that. And you can say, well, I can call you half an hour before and see if you're ready. Then they'd say, okay, that sounds great. You've set up an opportunity where you can make your yes a yes. Instead of just saying, you know, just come knock on my door. Switch that around so that you can give a yes and follow through on it. See how that works? It's real simple, but the more you build on these, every penny, pennies add up to dimes, dimes add up to dollars, dollars add up to, you know, fortunes, right? So you just invest. You invest every chance you get, and you can try to set up scenarios where you can give a yes and then follow through with it. Scenarios will happen, but don't wait for them to happen. Be intentional. Set those scenarios up to build trust by keeping your word. In Romans 15, Paul is finishing a section where he's talking about the stronger Christians, the more mature Christians, and how they should be working with, putting up with, dealing with, helping the weaker Christians or less mature Christians. Okay, and in the end of this section, there are some little pieces of this relationship here that not taken out of context, but they're just principles for relationships. And so I want to go into this section here. I'm going to pull out some principles of relationships. It's about this, but the principles for relationships are universal. Ecumenical almost came out of my mouth, and so I had to thesaurus back to a word that might communicate. So Romans 15 in chapter, or verse 4, he says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So endurance, encouragement, hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward who? Toward each other that Christ Jesus had. So he's talking about strong Christians. He's addressing the strong Christians to the weaker Christians, or the mature Christians to the immature Christians. And he's saying, okay, and if we would have gone back to the beginning, it's talking about Jesus serving, and that's how he brought into, and that was the attitude he had, was serving us. And then he makes this connection point in the middle, which is really thick. And that is that through service, Jesus gave to us endurance and encouragement, what the scriptures have given to us. And it was Jesus's service that had brought that to light. And so we should have the same attitude toward each other of service, and that service yields encouragement and endurance. Think about those two words just for a moment. Endurance and encouragement. Endurance and encouragement. Those are powerful words, aren't they? If you can give someone endurance, if you can give them encouragement, they can weather any storm. It's amazing how resilient the human can be, and yet how fragile the human can be. But if you give someone endurance, you can empower them to go through a life's hurricane. If you give them encouragement, you can help them go through some of the worst of the worst. And we all know that to be true. And then that little four-letter word appears there that gives hope. Hope's powerful. The lack of hope is powerful. So this attitude of service, let's write this down. This is potent about relationships. So as we're intentionally creating and intentionally working with these relationships, with the goal, I want to gain permission, I want to gain trust, I want to gain respect, then we provide endurance and encouragement by coming alongside them. Just as simple as the last application, let your yes be yes, build trust. So in this, coming alongside them, it's not that difficult to do. But if we realize this is what I'm giving to them, then you realize how super important it is, and it can focus your intentions in that coming alongside. Then I'm coming alongside to bring hope. I'm coming alongside to encourage. I'm coming alongside to help them to endure. And really, all you're doing is you're just coming alongside them. You're just serving them just like Jesus served us. You gain respect and you earn permissions by simply coming alongside someone. to have their six. It's the guy should have gotten that one. Okay, I got Chris, ex-military, current police officer. But there's enough guys here that play video games that would know I got your six. I got your back. I got your back. Because you and I both know that everyone needs an advocate. Is that a statement of truth? Everyone needs an advocate. Everyone needs someone that's going to be on their side, someone that's going to be in their corner. It doesn't mean you're in the ring all the time. It just sometimes you're in the corner cheering them on. Everyone needs someone to come alongside them. And as you come alongside them, as you build that relationship, as you gain permissions, as you gain respect, as you build trust by being there when you say you're going to be there and listening when you say you're going to listen and calling when you say you're going to call, then as they're going through whatever they're going through and you're coming alongside them, they might have questions. They might come to you and say, you know what, I don't really know what to do here. And guess what? That's a whole nother level to be able to introduce them to the truth of Scripture and be able to say, you know what, God's word is my guide. Let me see what God's word says about it. Or maybe you've had an experience with God in a very similar situation where you can say, you know what, when I was going through this, here's what I found in Scripture that really helped me out. Let's see if this can apply. Let's see if we can, you know, see how this works. See how that, and it's natural, and it's real, and it's organic, and it's not forced, it's not fake, but you're creating a scenario where those open doors will be open more frequently and open more naturally. Everyone needs an advocate. You step into someone's life as an advocate, and they are going to welcome you in, I guarantee it. Paul says, and he continues in verse 7, he says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. And this is another part of building relationships, and that is to present a safe environment by being accepting and non-judgmental. Easier said than done, I think, because we like to think that we're accepting, we like to think we're non-judgmental, but it really takes a lot of effort to understand that there's a difference there. I'm not saying that we approve of all their behaviors. I'm not saying that you agree with them on everything. No. That's not what we're doing. I'm not saying be fake. See, Jesus, it says right here, to accept one another then just as Christ accepted you. Christ accepted me as is. Pretty sure that's how he accepted every one of us. And he did so in full knowledge of my bad decisions, of full knowledge of my bad behavior, and still does to this day. I know I'm accepted by him, even though I know that I make some bad decisions sometimes. Anyone else in the same boat there? Okay, no. So we accept the way Christ accepted us. In full view of all of our stupidness, Jesus accepts us. And so accepting someone doesn't mean that you're placing a stamp of approval on the things that you see in their life. You're like, this is, no. You just accept them. It's that simple, and it needs to be that simple. You just accept them. You just accept them, and that comes with being non-judgmental. It's not approval. It's acceptance. Now, we should be able to judge right from wrong. Christians should be able to know what is moral and what is immoral. We should know the difference between truth and fiction. But being non-judgmental means that you understand that these things, that you understand truth and fiction, you understand right from wrong, but you're going to accept the person as is. And the goal is to be able to earn respect, earn their permissions, so that sometime down the road, they might have questions about some of those things that you might be able to assist and help with. If you start in right off the bat with, you know, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, has that worked for anyone? No, yeah, exactly. It's when I'm going to the Reds game and the guy's out there on the corner preaching to everybody in the hellfire and brimstone, I'm like, please, you make it so much difficult for the people who are trying to go about it in the way that Jesus went about it. So you build these relationships, You develop a safe environment. You are accepting first. And then as you gain that relationship, as you build the relationship, they're going to want to talk. But it takes that environment of acceptance, that safe environment of acceptance, non-judgmental relationship that allows someone to be able to be themselves. Because that's a true statement too, that everyone needs someone they can be themselves around, correct? We all need that. We all need that. And those are the people we gravitate to, is it not? It's like a magnet. So if we know that and we realize that as we observe what's going on around us, and we want to gain the ability, the window to have to be able to speak into someone's life, to be able to share the goodness of God, then wouldn't it be smart of us, wouldn't it be wise of us to say, okay, if this attracts me to other people, then wouldn't this attract other people to me? If I'm the type of person that people can be themselves around, I work hard to make sure that that's something that I am, because due to my position, there's automatically he's a preacher, you know. And I think that's something universal here that you guys would agree. That's something I work hard at, but I think that's something that I achieve. I'm not a difficult person to be around. I'm a difficult person when you're trying to get to, you know, get something right, because I'm a perfectionist, and then we're gonna have some issues, because I have a tough time at just kind of letting things go sometimes. But as far as just hanging out, just talking, and that should be a goal for all of us, because that's a magnet, that's a people magnet, to just be someone that people can be themselves. Because everyone, we know that to be true. Let's apply that. Everyone needs someone to talk to. That's true too, isn't it? Everyone needs someone to talk to. They're going to talk to somebody. Shouldn't that somebody be someone that's connected with God? Shouldn't that somebody be you? It should be. It should be. So we connect with people. So to get kingdom results, this is the kind of relationship that every one of us are going to need. And I want us to really start thinking about that in these weeks as we venture through this core value. And I want us to think about someone specifically right now as we're thinking about this subject and it's fresh in our minds. Think about someone that you can connect with, that you can build a relationship with, that you can be intentional by earning their respect, by earning their permissions. And to know that in order to do that, you need to build trust. You need to be someone that's going to be an accepting person, a non-judgmental person, someone they can talk with. And you're going to build those relationships intentionally. Why? Because God matters to you, and you know the difference he can make in your life. Because you're devoted to him and you're devoted to his mission. We talked about that earlier this year. You cannot be devoted to Christ and not be devoted to his mission. Those two go hand in hand. And this is going to happen for our church only if it happens to us as individuals. That's how we see real kingdom growth. You see things around us, and we see the smoke and lights, and we see the ooh, wow, churches. And we see there, you know, thousands of members. And I don't want to be judgmental at all. I've got friends that are in those churches. I've got friends that lead those churches. I want to see, and I don't care what numbers are, I want to see a church that's producing disciples, not people that are ooing and wowing. And I think we're in that together, are we not? And that doesn't come from smoke and lights. That doesn't make disciples. It doesn't come from some guy that, you know, whatever, that knows that brown and orange go together or whatever. You know, it doesn't come from that. My part is to equip you so that you can go out and do the good works of the kingdom. The way real discipleship happens is you with someone else. And you with someone else. And if we have 115, 120, the math's easy. If every one of us has one other person, 6 months, we could double the size of the church. Not because we're trying to double the size of the church, but because we're investing in the kingdom. Amen? And right here, this is rubber hits the road. It's intentional relationships, real relationships. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for your word and all the things in it that just give us tons of wisdom and help us to be wise. There's no way to put relationships into a formula, but we can observe, we can look at the truth in your scripture, we can look at how that plays out in the lives around us, and we can say, you know what, there are certain things that are that are universal. I pray that you would help us to take that in a very natural way, and to take, I guess, a mechanical concept and to apply it in a very very organic way. Father, we ask that you would help us to be your light to the world, that we would model after your son, that we would be the example that others could look to, that we would build trust and respect and permissions with really everyone we come into contact with because of the way we live, but most importantly with those that we are intentionally seeking out a relationship with for kingdom results. Thank you so much ahead of time of the blessings we are going to see from the fruit of these core values you have given to us. I'm excited to see what happens in the next chapter of Miami Town Church of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.